March the 12th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Blog Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waraf Uddin Muhammad, Commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. But before doing that, I want to caution all the believers. When I say believers, I mean believers in all faiths, to take this virus very seriously and take the appropriate steps to prevent you and your family from getting this virus. So we'll open with the dua, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Promised land is for the intellect. So you know when the body wakes up in the morning, the eyes open up, please. Don't try to get out of bed before the eyes open up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with leaders who love righteousness, decency, truthfulness, who love sincerity, leaders male and female. And these are going to be the ones that take us into the promised land for our intellect so that we will have thinkers, scholars and scientists born amongst us who will get the attention of the literate world, just like those got the attention of the literate world in the time of our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, from hearing the Quran explained and taught by him. Someone might say, oh, you are referring to yourself. No, I said, we would have leaders, not just myself. I'm just one. We will have leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless and is blessing because of their sincerity, their desire for righteousness and decency, uprightness, and cleanliness, etc. The Quran says, he will purify them, pardon me, and teach them the book and the wisdom or the rule of logic for the book, which will make them wise and give birth to scientists. Dawn is of the intellect. Now, going back to the interpretation of the Night of Power as the Muslim era or the Muslim age, reading on the Genesis, the beginning of creation, and understanding that the agent of God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels were really pure beings. And they must descend first, and then the revelation comes, and then the dawn. So the day, the dawning, a day with the Lord, is as a thousand with you. It's the scripture, isn't it? Before, the whole scripture, a day with the Lord is like a thousand with you. So here comes the day, the dawning of the intellect, the dawning of the intellect. When this dawning starts happening in the intellect, then the same thing starts happening in the garden. The same thing happened for the world. That happens for the God. Say God created the man, put him in the garden. Then he charged him to do what? Dress the garden. Garden believers will be in the garden of their souls. So these ones who love righteousness and purity, they will be awakened. Their intellect will be awakened. And they will see themselves standing in the garden of their own soul. And they will get the message from God, dress the garden, and the Lord that revealed the word of the Quran to awaken our intellect, to turn us on this time to scientific inquiry, as well as the obedience as servants. That same God will have us pretty soon dressing the garden. Say these soul brothers, they will have their souls dressing up with the clothes manufactured by them, with homes developed, built by them, with factories established by them, with streets paved by them. Now this is dressing the garden. My soul is here, but it needs dress. So you should see me in my dress. That's the way I want to see a soul brother. I want to see a soul brother in a skyscraper that he put up. I want to see a soul brother in a cement factory that he opened up. He's opening automobile factory that he's responsible for, etc. Wouldn't that be dressing the soul brother? He would be dressed up. Then wouldn't that? Lord have mercy. The Quran Surah 62, Ayah 2, Prophet said, to purify and educate. And it is even worse when others have to come in and provide those things for us. So let us not forget that those things that we think or perhaps only in abstract are very much necessary as energizers, as germs of light to manifest material interest. And we include in the picture taqwa, tahira, purity. These represent the precious beginnings of real life for the mind of men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to lead us out of the darkness into the light and to purify us and to break every bond of slavery. He wasn't free. Not to free to enjoy the world like hungry animals, but free to enjoy the world like intelligent men. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us perform in the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us. Human life, compassionate life, life that has consideration for other life, feel need for others, life that is intelligent, not foolish, a life appreciating beauty and appreciating order and orderliness. This is what makes second man, the higher man in creation. He is sensitive to the more important things, and he understands that although the material world is the first wound of life, he understands that digesting, understanding that material world gives him a higher existence and a higher world of abstract. So where abstract becomes a higher language of the material world than the ABC blocks of the material language that we learn in elementary levels of our trip to the place of enlightenment. In Arabic, Bashira is the good news. Bashir is the good news giver. So we don't call human skin by this name, but the peeling of apples has this name, the skin of the outer thing. So that is to tell us that this new man, God creates him in his own sensitive concerns, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala formed his life anew out of those sensitive concerns. So the Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 5, donkey carrying book. Knowledge that also structure you. There are many African Americans with doctorate degrees that have nothing but time and leisure. Some of these people have no more than the bum in the street has. A whole lot of time, nothing to do. Anyone who has earned a doctorate degree should not be idle. They are supposed to have the intelligence to make a job for themselves. They are supposed to have enough sense to establish themselves. So what is the problem? The problem is that the African American is not really structured by knowledge he has acquired. When you acquire knowledge, that knowledge should also structure you. Some people just have the knowledge, but they have not structured their own life after that knowledge. Their life is the life of a poor man. They are like the Quran says of them, a donkey carrying huge loads of books. You can have 50 PhDs, but if you just memorize the knowledge in order to pass the required examination, then you have not grown with that knowledge. But if you have grown with your learning so that it influences and sharpens of your life, and you take on principles dictated by the knowledge you receive, then you will grow and be in the likeness of your knowledge. If you have the dignity of your field, you will not accept to be idled with the poor. Why can't the African and the African-American people establish themselves? Why can't the African-Caribbean people establish themselves? We are all the same people from the same African ancestry, and we all depend on the white man for hope. We have no vision of our own. We're just following the white man's light. Therefore, we stay in the dark. The object of life is to serve God. What will bring the African American into the proper ordering of his emotionality and into the proper devotional urge rather than the pleasure urge? So this world sells its citizens on the pleasure urge. They say that, please, If pleasure is the first motivation, that the object of man's life is to be happy. Yes, happiness is a primary need in life. It certainly is basic, but the wise didn't call it happiness. They called it well-being. They said that the natural objects, the natural goal of life, is well-being. Happiness is too vague of a term to describe this natural goal. So let us take a look at the word well-being. Well-being is not only an essential requirement in our life, it is an essential requirement in the life of anything, a dog, cat, or any other creature will struggle for well-being. But well-being for the human being is a big term because it limits our growth and much bigger than the limit for the growth of an ordinary animal or creature. We may be happy. We may start out seeking to acquire something that our life needs. We may acquire what we were seeking and still not find happiness because what we needed or wanted was just one part of what our life really needs. While we were seeking it, we thought that was the whole. We might say, if I could just get that, I know that I'll be happy. Finding happiness. Some people think that if they get enough wealth, where they don't have to be insecure or feel any material threats, they will be happy. Most people who have a lot of money are not really happy. There are some people who think that if they get enough knowledge, it will make them happy. You will find that some of the saddest people are those with PhDs. None of those things just mentioned are a guarantee for happiness. The only guarantee for happiness is that you please God. God says of those who please him that he will make their life pleasing to them. This is well-being. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. The same condition that keeps the African-American people out of progress is a necessary condition to bring them to the proper state. This emotional makeup that keeps them out of progress will keep them out of establishments if allowed to prevail in their lives. So this same condition is also necessary to get them on the right path. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. So if we look at the level of progression that life goes through, that society historically has to rise to, we know that the state of emotionality is one of the primitive states of man. But nevertheless, it is that emotional state you must first order correctly before you can find your current way in the world. Faith is a form of emotionality. Emotionality in its proper state is a suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. Faith is as a form of emotionality. I have faith because of my emotional makeup. My spiritual expressions, my fear, my intuition, instinct, etc., are nothing but conditions of emotionality. So we find then that the original form of man is emotionality. Thus, it is in emotionality that the intellect dawns. Emotionality in its proper state is the suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. So the thing that is wrong with the African people and their descendants is following a people who are not responsible for establishing them in the world. If they would stop following another people and try to find God, try to solve their problems upon their own strength, their own sensitivity, their own motivation, they would come to life once again. That is the answer. And it is as simple as that. We live in a country where we were once slaves. And what has been our path for slavery, from slavery to freedom, it has been one of the rejections to integration. We were struggling against social rejection to be integrated, to get into the mainstream of life in America. Our whole history as a people in this country has been one of the struggling under the pressure of separation and segregation and trying to get out of an isolated situation and be accepted in the white man's society. Integration is not the answer in any unjust society. There is nothing wrong with integration. That is a sensible urge and direction to follow. If the society is suitable, the society that is suitable will help you enter it. And when you are near, they will give you more and share with you what they have. But if there is a society in which you are not wanted, and that society is not based upon pure principles, the closer you get, the more the problem is upstate to keep you out. In their estimation, you came from one situation of subjection to another situation of subjection because they upstage the strategy to keep you out. And though you are in the society physically, you are not yet a part of it. Look at the word integration. The Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was calling for separation. And the Civil Rights Movement was calling for integration. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad movement made more progress during the conflict of the Civil Rights Movement than ever before. Those were glorious days of the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam was voicing a contrary or different opinion than the one voiced by the black masses or the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement gained prominence around 1954 or 1955 when Dr. King and Rosa Parks brought the situation into the eyes of the nation and the world. And it was from that time on that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to make big outward gains. People in the Civil Rights Movement desired to be accepted as a natural part of the American life and society. The Nation of Islam was insisting upon its own life and identity, separate from the life of America and the American society. These two extremes were operating, one calling for integration, the other calling for separation. Dr. King appealed to the society's sentiments, the hurt woman. Why was one movement calling for integration? What was the main motive, the main force asking for integration? All you have to do is look at the character of the leader. The leadership was emotionality, Dr. King, with his ringing, beautiful oratory, was full of emotional impact. His appeal was not to the scientists of this society. His appeal was to the sentiment of this society. He was appealing to society's sentiment to support something that is just, no more than humanly decent. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on the other side, was claiming to be pragmatic, claiming to be scientific, but actually he was just the other side of the emotional ball, expressing the same thing. He was saying, "You devil, you," when asked why he called the white man a devil. He replied, "Because he mistreated my people and won't allow me the opportunity to get what he had." Both movements were of the same thing. One is the hurt woman that says, "Prove to me that you are a human being by loving me and letting me share your life." And the other is the hurt woman which says, "I don't believe in you anymore. It is finished for good." Donkey represents ignorant, uneducated people. The Quran Surah 62, Ayat 5. Donkey carrying books. Bukhari, page 5, 607, Prophet rode white mule. Matthew 21:2, Jesus asked for a donkey. What Jesus asked for, he said, "Go and find me a donkey untied with no tie on him," meaning nobody had claimed him. It says that, "And when you find him, bring him to me." And if anybody questions you, tell them the master has used for them. He did not say, tell them Christ had use for them. Jesus had use for them. He said, tell them he master has use for him, for the donkey. So this donkey represents ignorant, uneducated people that nobody cared for. Out of there, nobody claimed it. Nobody wanted him. He's too dumb to do anything, not even employable, and then stubborn too. The donkey is not only dumb, he's stubborn. He won't follow, and he's temperamental. He will carry you for a while and then stop for no apparent reason and then look at you like he's saying, it's my business, I stop when I please. So this is how he stopped and looked at his rider. Jesus' donkey, dissatisfied and defiant masses. But that is the kind of following he wanted, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have said, get me a donkey untied. He did not say, get me a camel untied. A camel is not stubborn, defiant. A donkey is stubborn and defiant. So who is it appealing to? Who is it appealing to? The dumb, uneducated, ignorant masses who were dissatisfied and defiant. He wanted to put something into the vessel, meaning they to do not have anything in their minds of what the world wants in the mind. So in the world, they are empty vessels. So he wants to put into those in the vessel a new wine. This is scripture. If you don't know that Dr. or Mr. Farad came in the role of Jesus Christ, playing the role of the Christ, then you don't know Mr. Farad yet. W.D. Farad or W.F. Muhammad, whatever you want to call him, that he left, these are his names. He came, he studied the Bible. And to study our condition. And he chose for himself to come in the role of Jesus Christ. Give me your tithe and burden. How did Jesus Christ deal with the government? I'm coming back to Adam, but you should know this. How did Jesus Christ deal with the government? He knew the government would persecute him if the government knew what he was doing. He knew the government would stop him, so he presented himself to the government in a way to make the government permit him to do his work. He said, give me your tithe and burden. Isn't that what he said? So he is appealing to the government people. You have some dissatisfied people. They are tired with all of the burden of your society on them. And they are the ones who will revolt or rebel against you. I come to save you from your own troubles that you have in your society. Give me these. I have something for them that will attract them and hold them. Now, can they trust him? The wise, they heard his language. They see his language. He is saying that I'm going to take away from you your fears of your disgruntled, unruly, bitter, and some angry members in your society. I want to take that burden off of you. I'm going to give them something that will contain them, hold them, and you won't have to worry about them, but can they trust him? Surah Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 9 to 10. Leave business when the call to prayer. So the purpose for our existence on this earth is to serve our God. And it doesn't mean in ritual. It means to serve God with your soul, with your intelligence, with your whole life. This is another place. And I'm concluding this. That is, again, where we differ from the Western idea of freedom and democracy. So we come to Juma and are told when the call to Juma prayer service is made, leave off business. So the businessman, in order by God, that when the call to Juma service is called, he has to shut up his shop. He has to close shop, stop selling, and hurry to the Juma prayer service, congregational prayer. This is in El Islam. The same chapter on the Quran on Juma says, and when the Juma prayer service is over, has concluded, disperse and go back into the avenue of business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, is telling that business is necessary for the life and progress of society. But it is not the highest value. The highest value is devotion to your God. So when you are asked to come and devote your attention to your God, close up your shop and come and devote your attention to your God. So Juma, not rest day, but productive day. Then when the prayer service is over, go back to your business. Take care of your business. So our day out of the week for prayer service is not a day of rest. This is not separate from my point that I've been making ever since I began speaking. It is not a day of rest. Our rest is in our productive work. That's where our rest is. You want to rest? Work and produce. That's how you rest. The more you reserve, your reserves increases, the more your property grows, the more you rest. So understand, Muslims, we don't believe in one day of rest. We believe in 7 days of work, and that is our rest. And some of us, that's what happened. We get our work and we go back Monday. We're out of it, can't recover from a weekend off from work. So we are not going to rest. Call to prayer horn, bell, voice. Pardon. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayah 9, call to prayer, leave off business. Mount Sinai, Tir Sanin, and it is a reference to spirit. Jews in the history of the people of the book were first before the Christians, and the Jews were a people who needed the Spirit of God to come into them so they could be directed to their contract with God, or covenant with God. And the Christians, not the Christians, but the people who converted to Christianity, they were people formed and ready to receive God, but already spiritual, having spirit. And God chose to inspire the Jews. We have it in Mount Sinai. Moses went up to Mount Sinai. And the Mount Sinai is called Tura Sanin, and it is a reference to spirit. So the Jews were brought to go to seek God, to have a covenant with him by spirit. So when he think of Christians, we think of Europeans who accepted Christianity. They were the first to accept Christianity, Europeans. The Greeks and the Romans and others, Europeans, embraced Christianity. So there were a people who had to get Christianity not direct, by inspiration of the Spirit from God. And they had to get it from the sound of the word. And we have the expression now, that word has a ring or familiar ring. So they had to get it from the sound of the word. And Muslims were not to be in either situation where we had to search to find God and get a spirit in us to find God. I mean, Muslims of the world, not just blacks. The people, I should say, people at that time of al-Islam, that the revealing of al-Islam, they were in a state where they weren't in a state, pardon me, they would say, these people need the spirit of God in them. The world had much of the spirit of God in it, but the world was not in the right shape. And the Christians had already indulged the world and tried to get the message. The sound means the message in the world, in the word. So when the church has the ringing bell, that ringing bell is still there, preserving the idea of them as a people who had to get guidance from the listening to the sounds. They listened to words, and they found connection. Well, the two, I wish I had the time. You would be surprised. This language is universal. It's not limited to any one language. And if I had the time, I could convince you. If you're intelligent and stay rational, I could convince you. That's what I'm saying is true. The language is universal and the sound will connect meanings for you. Not all the time, but many words have sounds similar to another word. And it will so happen at certain times or for certain situations, it will so happen that sound, that common sound, reveals something to you. So when you get help from the two words, you get the help from the meaning in this word. You get the help from the meaning in this other word. That sound is similar. Then you will get help from that, and the meaning will come to tell you, to reveal something that was hidden when those words were separate and the common sound hadn't brought those words together. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want us to struggle like that. The Christian leaders, they were 300 years trying to settle an argument reading scripture. And they were blessed to be helped by the sound 300 years before they came to a conclusion. And when they came to a conclusion, they came to the wrong conclusion. They had a majority had come to the wrong conclusion. Eastern Church did not accept the conclusion that they came to. The Greek Eastern Church. So what is the nature of divine? What is the nature of man? What is the man's nature? What is God's nature? What is the nature of man? What is divine nature? For these centuries, finally, they came to a conclusion. Yes. Now, he mentioned that we don't have the horn or the bugle or trumpet. And we don't have the bell. But we must have a human being. Bilal was the first one given the call with the human voice. Hayya ala salat. Allahu Akbar. First to the end. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala falat. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. So it is the human voice, the human voice. What does that tell us? It tells us to bring it to a quick conclusion. I'm going, when I do this, God has evolved man, and he has aided man on to the path of his progress for evolution with his spirit. First his spirit, then his word. And then the man speaks, peace, as-salamu alaykum. So So the Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, God made your features excellent. Revelation 2:17, hair white wool. So your hair is not made for the kind of climate that the white man used to. So your hair is made for the climate that you were brought in, brought up in. That climate was a hot and humid climate. Your hair is tight together like a mat. What happens is this. When moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and drop as it accumulates. It fills up that sponge that you have for hair that serves to keep your precious head cool in the hot climate. Water is a coolant. We're just talking about this kind of reasoning with the color problem. Before going on to our subject, water is a coolant. Black affects of color. White reflects color. So you might say black is not a color. No, black is not a color. Black is the effect from color being absorbed into each other or taken in. What we call white is the effects of color being reflected altogether. In the creation and the earth, we see white and we see black. In the color scales, we see the color of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealing to the physical eye. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, made your picture excellent. So we are first made aware of our common life of excellence that we have and share with all people. God tells us in our holy book, He made our design and He made it most excellent. The Arabic, according to our holy book, is better and best identified that He gives us in our human identity that is to be understood in the aim of excellence in human nature. God created us. Racial, national identities not last forever. So he created us, for human excellence. And this is our common heritage that we have, and we should care more about this common heritage than we do about the color of our skin or the nation that we came from, etc. Because these things are temporary. The racial classification is temporary. They're not going to last forever. And also the national classification are not going to last forever. But what God will receive if we are blessed to survive this physical world, what God will receive in our human soul is in its excellence. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayat 3, God made your features excellent. We gave black inferiority. We do have a color problem, brothers and sisters. It has been bred into our minds so long, from generations down to generations until now, we just live black inferiority. We can talk black superiority, but because of this being in our core of our mind and spirit, we live black inferiority. It's time to wake up. Head nappy is good. How often have you seen a black flag wearing brother or sister in our community? He is one who even wants his dress shirt to be black, red, and green. He wants his socks to be black, red, and green. He'll come out with some water glittering shoes that are black, red, and green. He wears a knitted cap, black, red, and green. He's black. Black, black, through and through. Yet when he talks, he says, yes, she's got good hair. She's so fine. What he means to say is that she has nappy hair or kinky hair. When he says that she has bad hair, he means that he has straight hair when he says he has good hair. I don't see people when they're buying fabric in the fabric market, picking that material and saying, give me that piece of that bad carpet or give me a piece of that bad cloth. They say that they would like to have this woolen nap rug. It's not bad when they're referring to it off of their own bodies. But when it's on their own body, they say that it is bad hair. So the Quran Surah 2, Ayat 138, Baptism of Allah. The Quran Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah shakes you in the mother's womb. The Quran Surah 64, Ayat 3, God made your features excellent. The Quran Surah 6, Ayat, Surah 3, Ayat 6, Allah shakes you in the womb as He pleases. Revelation 1, 14 to 15, hair, white wool, free burnt grass, fee burnt grass. So nappy hair cooling in the hot climate. Who has taught you that it's bad? What is bad about it? It's good, strong hair, and it protects your head. The book says of Christ that his hair was white like lamb's wool, but the Christ on the cross that we see and cherish has straight, stringy hair. Why do you say your hair is bad and kinky? You should stop using the white man's comb. He made the comb for his hair. Go get yourself a comb for your hair. You've neglected your hair so long that it doesn't even look healthy to you. It's just like a nice, beautiful, attractive, nappy rug that you go to the store and buy today that you care nothing about. So if you leave trash on it, if you let anybody walk in or off the dirty streets and track mud all over it, and if you never vacuum it, pretty soon it is going to be ugly and unattractive. So when you brought that nappy rug, it was pretty. Your nappy head is also pretty when it's combed and hair. But you start neglecting it. You don't care how nappy your hair is. If you would clean it and take care of it and give it half the attention that you give the Caucasian hair, it will be clean, pretty, becoming to you, healthy and strong. Your hair is not made for the kind of climate that the white man is used to. Your hair is made for the climate that you were brought up in. The climate was a hot and humid climate. Your hair is tight together, like a mat. What happens is this. When moisture forms in your hair holds the moisture. It's not stringy. So the moisture doesn't just run down and drop as it accumulates. It fills up that sponge that you have for hair that serves to keep your precious head cool in the hot climate. Water is a coolant. We are just talking about this kind of reasoning with the color problem before going on to our subject. Water is a coolant. We're just talking about this kind of reasoning with the color problem before going on to our subject. Cooler with the color of righteousness. We have to first see what is wrong with the world to understand the subject. Remake the world. Let's take a look at nature itself and see if we see color superiority in nature. The earth is many colors. I have been blessed to travel outside of this part of the world into the east, and into the south, and in the Caribbean, and Africa, and Asia. I have looked at the soil, and I find some soil black, some gray, some even white, red, and different shades. I came back home and taught it and started over. I said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's wisdom is truly great. He said in one of his books that the color of the universe is the sun, being himself a creation or a product of divine scripture. He spoke with a language that was the same as the language was found in the scripture. He spoke in the language of symbolism, but he spoke great wisdom. He's telling us in that book that the sun gives color to the earth, and all the colors are in the sunlight. So we know that when we see the rainbow after the rain, when the sun is still shining, and the clouds have passed, but the mist is still in the air from the heavy rain, we see that mist by the penetration of the sun rays, a rainbow that reveals six basic colors. When we look at the soul of the earth, we see of the sun, black effects of color, white reflects color. You might say black is not a color. No, black is not a color. Black is the effects from color being absorbed into each other or taken in. What we call white is the effect of color being reflected all together. In the creation in the earth, we see white and we see black. In the color scales, we see the color of the rainbow, which are the colors of the sun revealing to the physical eye. Again, I thought that reflection on the Holy Quran, where it describes how the colors run together at the top of some mountain in the rocks. Then I saw a great lesson, a great beauty in this from the Holy Quran. But I won't go into this. I'll keep moving. One day, just for the fun of it, I decided to just think on color in nature. Right away, I asked how the white man could think that everything white is pure. Magnets are white. And no white man would tell you a cup of magnets is pure. Then I thought about the fly. I said, I've seen black flies and white magnets. I have told you these things to say this. It is not the color of the material. It is the color of that that lives in and rules over and directs the material. We are told both by the Holy Quran and the Bible to color ourselves with the color of righteousness. So the Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven heavens prophet, similar from the earth, Metalahuna, higher sensitivity created above willing obedience in man, inherent nature, then he becomes conscious. Seven major prophets, man, in those graduations, their sensitivities in man. Then a conviction, God wants to conform to a logic. Truth, where sensitivity becomes a conviction. God connected prophets' realities with the external reality, showed them the basis of their nature, sensitivity, in the external world. Their conviction was so strong, we see them outside of us. They are no more than expressions fulfilling themselves that God created in man. The inner potential of man finding its place in the external world. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven ways above and like in the earth. Bukhari, Volume 1, 345, seven prophets, heaven, one Adam, two Jesus, three Joseph, four Idris, five Aaron, six Moses, seven Abraham. So the seven refers to the natural steps of growth that takes place in the conscious of the individual. They are seven major prophets in us. they lie asleep in us. The average person can't reach the potential that the great prophets achieve. God hasn't sent us leaders that we can't follow because the leader he sent represents what is inborn, inherent, innate in us. Allah gives to all, every person, nature urged for excellence and social maturity. The one staying with God gives direction in his nature, is the one Allah should make the leader for all the rest and for all times to come. 6-7 number, the Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, 7 above, and a similar in the earth. Bukhari, page 4, 429, 7 heavens the prophet visited. 1 Samuel 2, 5, the barren has borne 7. They that were full have hired out themselves for the bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren has borne 7, and she that has many children is waxed fleable. So 1 Samuel 1:20, Hannah birthed Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:21, Hannah 3 sons, 2 daughters. Revelation 13:18, number of the beast is 666. Man-child is birth of mind of a prophet. The birth of a prophet is the birth of an inspired person, a divinely inspired mind. And when this type of person is born in the society that never had one like that, in the old ancient society, they referred to that person as a birth of a male or man child. But when they were saying man, they weren't referring to the flesh. They were referring to the mind that God desired. When he said, I am going to make me a man. Hannah birthed Samuel, Hannah 3 sons, 2 daughters, Hannah child called Samuel. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and on Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, that it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murat Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.